But before I get into a verse, I just want to say I really feel like there's people here tonight that you feel like you have an impossible. You feel like it, but God's going to make it come to pass. I feel like you have ways where there seems to be no way, but tonight there's going to be a way. God's going to do whatever you need him to do tonight, but you've got to have faith and belief in what in it. Amen. If we can turn in our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Kind of works out. I felt this was kind of what I was going to be preaching a while back, and I put some things together. And then when my dad asked me to preach tonight, I was able to add a lot more to it that I really felt like was beneficial. So I'm feeling God's going to do some things here tonight. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 30, verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Amen. Tonight, it's not a flashy title. It's not even catchy. It's nothing. But we've all heard this saying, when you get married, you know, what's mine is mine, or what's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. That's all said when you're married, except on the women's side. But tonight, my title's going to kind of come for that, and it's just going to simply say, what's mine is not yours. What's mine is not yours. If we can pray and ask God to move in this service tonight. Oh, hallelujah, God. I'm asking you to let the witness of the Spirit move in tonight, God. Oh, God, I'm asking you to touch each individual, Jesus. Let us arise our faith, God, and increase our faith tonight. Oh, in Jesus' name, God, let there be a witness of the Holy Ghost here tonight. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God, we worship you, we worship you. Amen. If y'all promise to help me preach, I'll be very short and let y'all be seated too. Amen, amen. I know the past few times I've tried opening up with a story, it kind of helps me. I love stories, but tonight I don't have one, so that's not good news. But I do have something else, and I'm going to try to be quick here tonight, because I believe God wants to do something. When I was praying here in this afternoon in the sanctuary, I really felt in the Holy Ghost that God really wanted to do some miraculous work tonight. But I felt there was a couple things, and the pastor can set it straight, but I really felt there was a couple things that I prayed about and that I felt God dealt with me. And one of them was that I feel there are certain things that are going on that are causing our eyes to be distracted from what God really wants us to be focused on. The devil's coming in and putting things in our path that I feel like God wants us to get our mind centered on. They're distractions, just certain things. It could be life distractions, life issues, whatever might be in your life or a problem that I feel like God wants us to get it centered back on. I feel like there's multiple things we've heard it here quite a bit that Pastor feels and I feel like that there's going to be miracles here. God wants to do healings. God wants to bring back backsliders. God wants to fill this building up and make it a big church. I feel that. But I feel there's one thing also that I felt like we have slowly gotten our eyes on, and that is our faith. For a while back, it seemed like our faith was just so advanced, and we would have such great altar calls. But then this happened, and that happened, and we had things pop up in our lives, and our prayers weren't getting answered. We're like, well, I just don't know if God's going to do that. But I feel like God's trying to get our focus back on what's right. Back on faith. I believe he still intends to do miracles. I feel he still wants to do some healings in this place. If we can just bring our faith up back to where it was and move on to the next level, I believe God's going to do some mighty things here in Augusta. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I think it's a known factor that when you When you're in church, if you don't hear right off the bat, you surely hear when you get in, but this is a spiritual warfare. Yeah. I know, like in over what's going on in Ukraine and with the Russians and all that, that's a war that just happened a week and a half ago, right? It was not continuously. But in the Bible, we fight a spiritual warfare, something that continuously happens. No matter what, we can't just come to church and take a day off. Because if you take a day off and you walk out those doors, there's still a spiritual warfare going on. You might get one victory, but if you try to live your whole life off that one victory, it ain't going to last you long. You're going to walk out and it's going to bite you back. You're going to fail. That's why it is important to stay prayed up in the Holy Ghost. It's important to stay on fire for God. In Jesus' name. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Our battle is not with our flesh. Our battle is not with our brethren here in the church, or it shouldn't be. Our battle is not with our own family outside of this church. That's not our, although it might seem like it is times, but it's a spiritual warfare. As I've heard pastor preach multiple times, that why does it always seem right when you're about to come to church, you get sick, or you feel like you get sick, or right when there's something happening, the kids act up, or you get in an argument with the wife or the husband, or something goes on. It's a spiritual warfare because it seems to always happen right around church time. But one thing I've noticed as well, and I've tried to keep my eyes open ever since pastor mentioned it, and I think he's mentioned it a couple times, but he said he's felt that there's coming a mighty revival where this is going to be a big church, right? But one thing he also mentioned is with a big revival, Satan ain't going to sit aside. There's going to be a lot of problems, a lot of devils, a lot of spirits that we're going to have to fight, a lot of distractions that we're going to have to fight. Revival is not going to come easy, church. Same thing happens. Your miracle is not going to come easy. Your deliverance is not going to come easy. Your victory is not going to come easy. If you're battling situations, you have addictions, you're struggling, you feel like you're a failure, it ain't going to come easy with you just coming into church and sitting aside through a service and feeling good from someone else's blessing. You're going to have to get it for yourself. That goes for every young person, every building. This goes for me. You need it for yourself. Young people, if you're battling something, this, you need it for yourself. It's not your dad's, family's, no one's responsibility but your own. And you need to get in an altar and get it for yourself. Because it's a spiritual battle. In Jesus' name. We have to continuously stay on our guard. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Seeking whom he may devour. Consistently, he's roaming back and forth, looking wherever he can, seeing every slight little bit of opportunity that he can to snatch and grab you. He will take it. He gives no space. I've heard it as references as he fishy. He just throws the hook, and if you bite, he'll hook you and just reel you in. You'll turn around and you'll run as far as you can, but eventually you'll get tired and he'll reel you back in. He's seeking whom he may devour. John also discusses what the devil's plan is in John chapter 10. "But the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But God said, I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly." The devil comes and he might not, as we see on Job, he might can't attack you directly. He'd be like, you can take everything, but don't touch him. Don't touch him. That's what he said at first. Don't touch him. So he takes everything. He takes his wife, his kids, his fields, gives him some terrible friends. All of it goes. All of it comes. But that was that. If that's not mental, I don't know what is. All I know is if the devil came and I lost my wife, I lost my parents, I lost my brother, everything I ever owned, I would not know. And then my friends turned against me. That would be a mental war, my friend. That would be extremely difficult to get to. Because the devil just doesn't want to just come and take one thing. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy everything, to whatever it takes to get you to fail. He will attack the church. He will do different things amongst the church. You might see some people, and whether it's being people leaving or people passing away, whatever the situation might be, he's trying to weed his way in, trying to get you focused on other problems, trying to get you focused off your problem, your need that you currently need. All of a sudden, here comes a spirit of depression. What's that doing? It's taking off revival. Revival's supposed to be happy. We're supposed to be seeing souls filled. You're like, oh, but something's happened. We had, it just seems, Brother Micah, it just, whenever we have a great service, something horrible happens like same week or a week after. I can't take it, brother. I want to be very careful about what I do in the church, about what I do in the spirit. That's a spirit of fear. That you don't need a spirit of fear. That has no place in the house of God. When you have revival, there is nothing impossible for God. When the church is on the brink of something miraculous, he'll do whatever it takes to take the church eyes off of what is to come. He's going to hit you at your lowest point. He's going to hit you where it hurts the worst. He's going to hit you where you feel like you can't go any further. Amen. We see that with David. In the story of David, he goes out. This land was given to him by the Philistines, by the Philistine king, and he was helping in war. But all of a sudden, the Philistines were going to go into battle, and David comes back, and the Philistines said, "You can't go with us to this war." So David goes back to Ziklag, and all of a sudden to find out the entire land was wiped out, burned to the ground, Ziklag. Wives, children, everything he ever owned was gone. Just like that, gone. He's having a great grand time. I read somewhere where it said this was his battle point, where he would come back and then he would attack from there. Go from Ziklag, doing different battles with the Philistines. But life might be going. This is someone who was a mighty warrior. Mighty victories. Had no fear in war. He had absolutely no fear when it came to fighting and a fear of death. But when you look at David, when he comes back and he sees everything is gone, what once looked like a mighty man turned to be like a little baby. Crying, weeping. He had nothing left anywhere. His family's gone. He had no more tears to weep. That's what the Bible says. He could stand tall on the battlefield and hold their own with a sword under pressure. But when it comes to something close and personal, that's when it starts affecting your mental state of being. In Judges chapter 4, that's not the only one, but in Judges chapter 4, verse 3, "And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. In 20 years, he mightily oppressed the children of Israel." This is a little bit different a story because the children of Israel put themselves into this problem. But still, they were mightily oppressed. For 20 years, they were oppressed. They cried. The Bible says they cried unto the Lord. And they wished they were back in Egypt. For 20 years under oppression. In Judges chapter 6, we see Gideon and the Israelites under oppression for 7 more years. They were under oppression. This is just similar. This devil, and this is some things I wrote down and where I'm coming all to a conclusion right here. But I feel the devil has taken some of y'all's joy. I feel the devil has taken some of y'all's what you thought was your victory. You thought you were on the brink of something mighty, and the devil stole it right from under your feet. You felt like you had your joy. You felt like God was going to do something great here. And all of a sudden, the devil swiped it out with something totally unexpected. I think that ends tonight. This is war. This is a spiritual battle. And let's conquer it with faith. In Jesus' name. I'm sick of Satan stealing people's faith right from under them. When God wants to do a healing and Satan swipes your faith, there goes the healing. That's something you need to conquer. You need to get your faith back tonight. Get your victory back tonight. Young people, get whatever you need tonight. In Jesus' name. In Judges, we see where they were under oppression for 20 years. And all of a sudden, there was a female prophetess by the name of Deborah. And she was going and she spoke to Barak. And she said, "For this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera, Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away. Skipping down to verse 24, and it says, and the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. They had everything. They were under oppression for 20 years. But when God says, hey, it's done, it's time right now, they wiped him off, completely destroyed Jabin. And in Samuel chapter 30, this is back to where we began, and I'm coming to a conclusion right here. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 17, it says, and David smote them from the twilight, even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything they had taken to them. David recovered all. David recovered all. Everything that was taken from him, David covered all. I feel like there's some people tonight, you can recover all. But it ain't gonna take a little altar call where you just come up here and pray and do your own thing. It's gonna take a warring in the spirit. You're gonna have to fight for what you want. You're gonna have to fight for the Holy Ghost. Fight for it in Jesus' name. As we can all stand here tonight. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I feel like there's some people here, it's time for you to get your joy back. I feel like some people, it's time for you to get your faith back. You know personally what God's promised you. And if God's promised you something, claim your promise. Get what's yours. Get your faith back. Stop letting the devil lie to you. Come get it in Jesus' name. Some of you, the devil's been lying that you can't get the Holy Ghost. He's been feeding you doubt and doubt. You could be seeking the Holy Ghost endlessly. And the Satan's like, see, there ain't no Holy Ghost. There's no Holy Ghost for you. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie in Jesus' name, and I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's victory here tonight in Jesus' name. Let's love the Lord here tonight.